Well, good morning, everybody. Glenn here. I just wanted to hop on here before the show starts. We recorded this episode, Jamie and I did, yesterday, which had been Tuesday. And at the beginning of the show, I mentioned the fires in Florida, and I mentioned that I was concerned that because we live by Gothy Forest, which is 70,000 acres, and things have been so dry here and everything, so just a little bit of a concern. And then after the recording yesterday afternoon, sure enough, a fire started about 3 miles from the house in Gothy Forest. So this is now Wednesday morning, and it's showing 1,400 acres. So in less than 24 hours, it went to 1,400 acres and about 30% contained. Now, it's not heading our direction. The breeze seems to be still taking it away from us, which is good. And it would have to cross two roads to get to us, although it has crossed several roads already. But in any case, I just wanted to mention that it was kind of ironic that that's the first thing we talked about, and then in the afternoon this happened. We're all good. So far, so good. A little smoky over here, but not as bad as if the wind was blowing our direction. And let's hope they get a handle on this pretty quickly. The helicopters are flying. We heard them all last night, so hopefully they'll get it under control shortly. But anyway, on with the show. You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, April 22nd, episode 3932, brought to you today by Chewy. Good morning, horse people.
Well, thank you for joining us in our rescue highlight today. We meet Victoria Hilton from Enchanted Thoroughbreds in Texas and our adoptable horses of the month, Gus and Dwight. They are precious. What are some of the things that non-horse people say about horses? We're going to find out. And we have some mighty weird news. For auditors, there will be no post-show today because for some reason, Jamie just wants to get out of here and go to Kentucky or something. I don't know. Hey, I don't know if you've seen on the national news, but Florida's on fire. It's crazy.
I've heard about them. What's going on?
We've been so dry. I mean, just dry for 6 months, and it just hasn't rained much. And we're now under the most severe fire warnings you can get. And it even comes across the weather app. Oh, the whole state.
Parts are on fire.
The whole state. From the south all the way into Panhandle up toward Georgia's the worst. And there's more than 100 active wildfires burning across Florida right now. There was a big one right above Gainesville where we live, and we could smell the smoke yesterday from it, near the airport, actually. And I think they got that one somewhat under control. But there's one, the biggest one going right now is 3,000 or 4,000 acres. And it's just people throwing cigarettes out of cars or, you know, just random stuff because it's so dry. And there's a burn ban pretty much in the whole state, but that doesn't stop people from being stupid. So it's just crazy. I mean, it's just nuts, the number of fires going on. Now, we wouldn't be threatened by this, but we live 2 miles from the Gothy Forest, which is 75,000 acres of forest. And, you know, there's going to be a fire over there, the way things are going. And we're not looking at any rain in the next 2 to 3 weeks. So it's only going to get worse. So,
how is there no rain in the spring in Florida? What's happening?
Our rainy season doesn't really start till May, but we usually get more rain over the winter or, you know, something over the winter, and we haven't had any. So that's where the problem lies. But I know we talk about fires elsewhere, not usually something you think about in Florida, but the year moved here 12 years ago, it was this way too, but it wasn't this bad.
When's hurricane season?
That doesn't start usually till June. And we sometimes will get a tropical storm at the beginning of the season in May, and everybody's just praying for a tropical storm. It's just
like, come on,
rain.
Hurricane.
We need it right now. Also, the New World screwworm, got to give an update, is within 90 miles of the Texas border now.
Oh, good God.
U.S. officials broke ground, get this, on a $750 million sterile fly production facility in Edinburgh, Texas. And so what they're talking about doing is taking this parasitic pest, which preys, or taking these flies, and they will basically be non-breeders. And they'll put them in with the flies that make the screwworms and hopefully kill off the screwworm fly before it makes a screwworm, right? And they're building this facility to sort of like Spalding Fly Predators, only for this one specific purpose, to make sterile flies. And what they're doing is they want to have a capacity, you're going to love this, they want to have a capacity at this one facility for up to 300 million flies per week.
Okay. I find that anytime we introduce a new species into a place where there's not supposed to be that species, something bad happens.
It's never gone well for Florida.
Number two is engineering animals. We've all seen Jurassic Park. Now, fly predators are just flies that eat the baby larva. Why right. can't we just put fly predators all over the place and just eliminate them? Why do we have to facilitate the breeding?
I'm sure Spalding would love that, but they haven't been hired for that project. Yeah, so
nobody asked me. Nobody, they don't ask me. Everybody should ask me.
I want to know what a 750 million fly production facility actually looks like on the inside. Can you imagine?
Oh my God! Could you imagine how loud it is in the
300 million flies per week? What could possibly go wrong?
I mean, it sounds like it's totally fine. That's going to be great. I'm no problem.
You know the movie The Birds. The next one's going to be The Flies. It's good.
We've seen the movie The Fly, where the guy was like Jeff Goldblum was going to do something to himself, and the little fly got into the little machine, and then he turned into a giant fly.
That's right.
Spoiler alert. Sorry, ruined that one for you.
Our one Jeff Goldblum reference for the month.
From the podcast to the farm, here's some hidden birthday wishes to keep you warm.
One auditor birthday today. Melissa S., happy birthday to you.
Couple things. I just want to run over. Amigo, my Andalusian, is now in the big pasture. It's so cool. He's like, he just was like running around like, oh my God, what is this freedom that I have? And this is the first time I have seen him not pace the fence.
Oh, just so, needed some room to breathe.
I mean, the 2-acre field wasn't enough. We have to have all of it. He needs all of it.
So all of the it. Acres. Now, will you try and put him out with the, you know, he's out with one other. Will you try and put him out with the rest then too?
Yes, he's out with Carl and he gets along really nicely over the fence with Butters. So I think Butters is going to be next because everybody loves Butters. Nobody's mean to Butters. So he'll go out with Butters and then I'll put Ace out next and then Groot can suck it. He's in this field with the thoroughbred and he kicks at everybody. So remember, I was going to make Groot my like, yes. This guy's going to bring everybody together and he's going to, no, he sucks. Shocker. You put him out with him. He's like, I'll double barrel you right in the jaw because I can. I'm like, you entitled. Chad was like, he's getting a little big for his britches. I was like, you think? So anyway, Groot's in a paddock, but everybody else will slowly be introduced, but probably not till I get back in town. Because if you recall, I am currently, and that was my other part of the daily Winnie is Kentucky. I'm in Kentucky right now. I mean, right now. Not right now, but like I will be by the time this airs. I'll be in the plane.
I'm so excited about it. Hey, you know what? We also have an auditor, Danny, who got a new horse, and we're going to congratulate her. 7-year-old Oldenburg mare from Germany, schooling second level. Woo! And she said she's got some jumping aptitude, and so she's going to see if she likes eventing. And the name is Remember Me, or Suvi is the barn name. So congratulations to Danny. It's always exciting when our listeners get a new toy.
Yeah. Now, let me stop you. Let me remind you, you just talked about new horses. Remember, if you are going to be in Kentucky on Thursday night, the new Vocations, which is in Versailles, is having an open barn and barbecue. You can go to horseadoption.com to see more information. But they have an open barn and barbecue. So it's like free to get in, free parking. You just park and walk on in and they're going to have like a, you know, the man of war horseshoe for auction, and they have a silent auction. They have food trucks. There's a band, and there's like some demos with the horses, and you can look at horses. Now, I'm going to be there. I am going to get a balloon, and I'm going to walk around with the balloon.
I'm going to say I love you on it, or happy birthday. Or...
I'm going to get what well, if you go. There's a place called the Liquor Barn.
It's the biggest liquor store ever.
Well, we're definitely going there. So they usually have balloons in there, and it's Kentucky Derby time. So I usually can find like a Kentucky Derby horse balloon. So I'm going to be planning on like having a balloon tied to my wrist. So you can come up and kick me in the shin. It's fine. It'll be fine. I'll be there.
That's funny.
Don't do that.
Managing your horse's medications doesn't have to be complicated. Chewy makes it simple. Just add your horse's prescription to your cart and check out with your vet's information. Chewy handles the rest by reaching out to your vet for approval and shipping your order right to your barn in just a few days. From allergy relief to joint support, everything your horse needs is just a few clicks away. Plus, Chewy's licensed pharmacists are available 24/7 if you have questions. Visit chewy.com/equine to get started today. For trusted care delivered for life with horses, there's Chewy. So you did
Let me tell you a little bit about Chewy real quick.
Okay.
Because a person sent me a tube of GastroGuard for one of my horses, for one of the horses I was going to ship out. So they sent me this tube of GastroGuard. Well, about a week ago, I get this package in the mail and I go down to the gate and it's a giant package of Senior cat food. I'm like, why do I have a package from Chewy that is a big box of Senior cat food? And so I was like, I'll call them tomorrow and find out why somebody delivered me a giant container of Senior cat. I don't even have cats, nor Senior cats. So apparently the person who sent it to me contacted me the next day and was like, hey, you're going to get a package of cat food my husband purchased from Chewy. And the last address on our account was yours because they'd sent me the GastroGuard. So I had this like 48 cans of Senior cat food that I don't know what to do with. She's like, I'll call Chewy. She calls Chewy and Chewy's like, oh, it's okay. We'll send you another one. And I took it and donated it to the local animal shelter. She was like, yeah, donate it. That'd be great. So this company is freaking amazing. Not only did they handle it for her, they welcomed me giving it to the local rescue. And that is just a company that, you know, if you want to get in bed with somebody, get in bed with Chewy. Let's do it. It's awesome.
All right. Very good. We appreciate that. Things non-horse people say. You did a post for some reason in the auditor room.
I did. Y'all, I mean, swear to goodness, like my in-laws live 9/10 of a mile away. It's like everybody loves Raymond up in here. I will be riding in the arena and they just walk to our house. They say they're like doing things and they're picking up trash on the side of the road. They're super, they look homeless. They're like picking up trash on the side of the road and they clean all the way up to our house and then they come over. So I was on Amigo day before yesterday. I'm sitting on him in the arena and it's like the first ride outside of the arena of the round pen. And I'm on him and here come these two old people with giant plastic trash bags walking up the hill and they're like, hey, and they're waving their trash bags around. And I'm like, this is how I die. I mean, he didn't care. It was amazing. He was like, oh, there's a couple weird old people walking up the street with trash bags. Totally normal. And so my mother-in-law walks up. She's like, wow, is this your new horse? I said, yes, it is. She goes, he is such a beautiful color. And I said, thank you. And she said, I've never seen a golden ombre horse before. And I was like, what did you say? Do you know what ombre coloring is, Glenn?
No.
Google it right now and take a look. It's basically like, say you have a blue at the bottom and it like morphs into green as it goes up. Ombre hairstyles are like when women have dark roots and then blonde, it like lightens down into blonde as it goes down their long hair. So that's ombre. So she was like, your horse is such a really beautiful golden ombre color. And I was like, wait, what are you talking about? She's like, golden ombre. He's ombre. Because his legs are black and he morphs up into buckskin. It's a buckskin with black legs. And she was like, such a beautiful golden ombre color. And I was like, I'm going to need you to repeat that because I'm going to take that directly to my podcast.
It sounds fancier that way, though. Golden ombre. It sounds cool.
Golden ombre. So it's O-M-B-R-E, just so you know.
Okay, yeah, I was getting stuck on that one.
Okay, so... I went on and I said, like, okay, friends, what are some things that non-horse people...
Well, you know, I'm looking at the hair. You're showing pictures of hair at this point, but she's not wrong.
No, I know, but as horse people, that's not something we ever say. I was like, I actually got up and I was like, son of a gun, you're right. He's ombre.
That's funny.
Never thought of it like that. But I went on and I asked all of our auditors, what are some things that you've heard that is wrong, but it's kind of funny, you know, you like it. And I remember I went on this one date with a guy and he came to the barn. And this is the last time he came to the barn because he was like completely not going to ever be anything with a horse, you know, and that was a requirement for me. You had to at least be comfortable around the lifestyle of the horse. But I was riding him and I was done and I was putting him back and he was like, where are you taking him? And I was like, oh, I'm gonna put him back. And he goes, are you gonna lock him in his little horse house? No, I'm not gonna lock him in his horse house.
No second date for you.
No second date. That wasn't first date, it was like second. That was the second date, and third was not gonna happen. But so I ask our listeners, what are some
again,
things
not and- wrong? It's not wrong.
It's not terrible. But do you know what a medicine hat paint is?
Is that the one that has the white face and the dark top? Like a
hat. It looks like they're like horses, paint horses with toupees. They're like black forelock and black ears.
I'm sorry, you can send hate mail to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. I think they're odd looking.
You're not a bald face kind of guy.
No, I'm not.
But Laura said her husband, who is a horse person, couldn't remember what her horse's name Sky's pattern was. And he was like, oh, you know, the Mad Hatter.
Again, not wrong.
The Mad Hatter. Go get the Mad Hatter out of the pasture. Kimberly says that she first started dating her husband and she was out lunging him. He's like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm lunging him. Apparently, later on, he was telling somebody a story about being out with Kimberly and she was out there flogging her horse.
Yeah, okay, that one's not good.
That one's wrong.
Yeah, that one's wrong.
Janelle says in her work as a saddle fitter, she has a short intake form for the horse and the saddle history. She was working with a client and she usually has them fill out like information like what they do, tell me about the horse's size, all this. And she was like, under the marking section, like what are your horse's markings? And the owner wrote, pretty. It's pretty. It's golden ombre, Mad Hatter. Nan says that her husband calls her Palomino the blonde one and the chestnut the red blonde one.
Again, not wrong.
You're right. Okay, this one's pretty wrong. Rachel says that people ask her when her pony, it's like a 12, 11 hand pony. And people ask her when her pony's going to grow into a horse. And he's 30. Yeah.
You get that a lot. You know, we used to take Scooter and Nigel, both geldings, keep in mind, out. And you know, Scooter's half the size of Nigel. And I cannot tell you how many hundred times when we would be out driving around with the ponies, they would think that it was mom and kid.
Nigel's
baby. Yeah, that's not
actually
possible.
It's Nigel is Scooter's baby. Yes. Okay. Like, yes, he runs really this
the
show.
That's really the way it goes.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, that's it. But I just thought that was really, really funny. So if you think of anything else that's kind of like that, again, Glenn, you really pointed out to me that really they're not that wrong.
No, not
all of them.
And I come from that side. So I get it. That's why they all made sense to me.
You understood. Gotcha. Right. Yeah. Cool.
I talk to other horse husbands. That's how we think. It's like, you know, I always had a tough time remembering the names of the horses. When we had a barn full of border horses, there are 20, 30 of them out there, I could never remember the names. Does Chad remember all the names? You get so many new ones coming through. I don't know how.
I mean, the ones that revolve in, he'll just call it a horse and hound horse. Mm. Is that the horse and hound horse? Yes, that's those two are the horse and
but
hound
horses.
They don't
stay long enough. He doesn't need the mental capacity to remember that. It'll just take up room.
And Ace and Miles always confused everybody. And so what Miles was the Andalusian, the dapple gray Andalusian, and the same age was Ace, my thoroughbred, who's also dapple gray. And so the only discerning factor to them was Miles had a brand. And so they would have to like walk around and look at the hip.
Back.
Yeah, like, what is that? Which one is that? Oh, okay, there he is. That's Miles. It's like, how do you know? Because I looked at his butt.
We've seen the Canadian Mounties a few times, and I really don't know how they tell any of those horses apart because they are identical. I mean, that's part of the. They're all black, and they're required to be look a certain way. And it's like, I don't know how they tell them apart. Just they're all that way. Personality and all that stuff. But if you're just casual into the barn, you wouldn't be able to remember.
Yeah, you see 900 blackheads pop out, and you're like, "Go get your horse. Which one?"
All right, awesome. I have an interview for you that I did last week. Unfortunately, Jamie couldn't be at this one. I think we did it late in the day or evening. And I wish you had been because Victoria Hilton from Enchanted Thoroughbreds was on, and you two are like soul sisters. And she has a great organization down there in Texas. This is part of our series every month for A Home for Every Horse. Thank you to them for putting it together. Well, it's time for a Home for Every Horse monthly feature, and we're very excited today to have Victoria Hilton from Enchanted Thoroughbreds. It's a rescue in Texas. Hey, Victoria.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us today. We love doing these features every month, and we love working with Home for Every Horse because then we know that the rescues we're talking to are legitimate ones, you know? So we're glad to be talking to you today. Jamie, my co-host, who isn't here for this interview, works with a rescue in Norman, Oklahoma, and it's a thoroughbred rescue, and she helps train the thoroughbreds and get them off to another home. So I'm sorry she's not here today because she would love to talk to you. Why thoroughbreds and why Texas thoroughbreds?
So thoroughbreds are very unique. Obviously, they're athletes. They are true performers. And they are typically ones that get overlooked quite often. And there are many rescues that are out there already advocating for the thoroughbreds. And personally, my first horse was a thoroughbred, so it just kept going from there.
Were you an English rider or Western?
A hunter jumper.
Hunter jumper. Okay, great. And so you started when?
Our formation was in 2024. Now, we had been rescuing on our own years prior to the formation.
Of the group. And is it a 501c3?
It is a 501c3.
Okay. And I assume that it happens at your farm?
Yes.
And where are you at in Texas?
We are located in Bowie, Texas.
Okay. So what model do you have? How do you get the horses that you take in?
A lot of them I try to communicate with horse owners, the race horse owners, or other partnering rescues that are needing a little bit more time and extra help on specific horses for more rehabilitation than what they can do, because this industry is time consuming and it does take a lot of work. So if I can take one off to help lighten their load so that we can focus on that particular one. We also have had owner surrenders that have sent us horses with kissing spine, laminitis, DSDL, things like that. We try to stay away from entering the realm of kill pins. Occasionally when we do get a phone call to intervene with those, we will help where we can. But like I said, it's just really more of an intervention part.
Right. And so do you keep them at your farm, or do you have a foster program set up, or
No, we keep them here at the farm. So I am here with them 24/7. And so I keep records on them and progress reports. So, and that's really the big key to rehabilitation. Are we getting better? Do we need to make some changes? And creating a wonderful team of how to continue what we're doing. Is it working? Do we need to change some things? It's just, that's part of rehabbing.
And are you doing, are you educating too, trying to get them to the point where they can find a home and have a job?
Yes. So that's really a lot of what I see a lot in thoroughbreds are tendon injuries. So we have a rehabber as well as an amazing farrier. So if we need to do corrective shoeing to help support those tendons, especially in cases of laminitis, we formulize personalized special programs to help that, and then we will rehome them. Now, in some cases, they're just it's going to require long-term maintenance, and to find those adopters take a little bit more time. So as we're waiting for that perfect adopter to come and adopt that specific case they're going to take on, we'll keep maintaining it here.
Gotcha. All right. So you still get to ride some then?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. a lot of rescues, you know, the owner never ends up riding anymore. So that's why I asked that. And
it's very few and far in between, but
you know, that happens to all of us that have our own farms. You end up doing maintenance and then or feeding or just the everyday stuff, and by the end of the day you go, I haven't ridden at all. It's just
right, exactly.
So time consuming. And how many horses will you keep at the farm at a time?
Our capacity at this location is, I do not like to exceed past 22.
That's still
just
a lot.
just for the simple fact of we have feed. If we start crowding, then we have to account for feeding and then paying people to come in and do cleaning plus the maintenance on it. So right now we have 15. So we're at a good number to where they can still graze and we're not doing, I mean, a lot of projects and just getting consumed with that.
Gotcha. And we always ask riders or whoever we have on about their first horse, and it's usually a pony when they're kid. What I'd like to ask you is the first horse you rescued, do you remember that one?
Let's see, going back. So the very first horse I had rescued, and I was actually younger, so of course my mother was involved in this, it were two paint horses back in North Carolina. And then we started getting phone calls about taking on more horses to take in. And one of them was actually a Friesian and beautiful horse, absolutely beautiful. And then from there, it just throughout like middle school and high school, I did the showmanship, the hunter jumper shows in Ocala. And so once I got out of the showing industry and got my own horse and started boarding, then it just became, hey, I can't afford board this month or afford the horse. Will you take it? And then it just kept going from there. So
got it. And is there one that's come through that's been a lot of people we talk to, there's one that comes through that was the one that was the special one, right? Is there one that's come through that's been that special one?
Opal.
And what's Opal, up with Opal?
Opal is actually from Kentucky. She's a Breeders' Cup. She's earned a hefty amount of money and is an amazing athlete. But she had nervacular and still does, but we've done a lot to work on her. But she has nervacular laminitis and kissing spine.
Oh, wow. She got the trifecta.
She did. Yeah. She did. When she first arrived here, she was a cribber. She did not like to be in a trailer.
Okay, I'm counting. That's five right now.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot with Opal.
How is she now? Is she okay or is she still around?
She's amazing. She's still here. And we actually just 2 weeks ago put her over a little 1 foot jumps and she had a blast.
Oh my God. So you know what's nice about that is without you, Opal wouldn't be here anymore.
Possibly.
No, Opal wouldn't be here anymore. So, you know, either, you know, somebody would have put her down or she'd end up in Mexico or something, you know. So I'm glad that you were there to intervene. And look, she seems happy. She's jumping jumps again.
Oh, absolutely. And it was something that I didn't think was going to be in her future, dealing with laminitis. Those cases are never black and white. They're an experiment of its own. And so when we went in for radiographs for the rotation to see how much rotation she had had in a positive way, I had talked with my farrier who's been making the shoes for her. Is it okay to put her in more like slightly athletic programs? He goes, the only way you're going to know is try it. So we did. And she had I cannot say how much fun she had. I mean, it was absolutely beautiful.
That's great. I mean, she had a job again, right? I mean, that's what we always talk about. They just want a job. They want something to do. We always ask about a horse, and in your case, horses, that we can highlight this particular month. And you brought two that are really special, and I want you to tell us about those.
So we have two. They came to us November 1st. We had a phone call. They had 2 days to get the horses off the property. We got there, and the Palomino, they're both quarter horses, was a lot more severe of a malnourishment and starvation case than Dwight. They both were underweight, but the Palomino was a lot worse. And so we put them in the trailer, we brought them home, and we do, anytime we have a starvation case, we do an automatic 45-day, 24/7 observation. Within the first 45 days, if something's going to go wrong, that's typically the time where you're going to see it.
How do you do that without standing out there all night?
Well, we have beds and cots out in the barn. So we have a whole setup out there for us to do rotations. I took night shift with them, but.
Okay, girl, that's dedication right there. that's just crazy. And these two are not young. When I looked at their page on your website, they're 30 years old. They do not look 30 years old.
They don't. They don't.
I mean, they don't have the sway back or anything. I was shocked when I read. I thought you got it wrong when you put it on the website, because they did not look that way.
No, and their teeth. We checked their teeth. We took them to the vet to verify. They're above 20, late seniors, over the late 20s. So
they're looking for a retirement home, someplace where they can go to live out the rest of their lives at this point.
Correct. And they are the sweetest boys. We regularly film them and put them on our Facebook page, and they are just so full of life and personality.
You know, I had a pony that lived until 42, 43. We weren't quite sure. So, you know, horses can live a long time. I love how on this ad you called them the Labrador dogs in horse form. So that's great.
Absolutely.
I like that.
Absolutely.
So if you're looking for a couple sweethearts who could just be babysitters, right, to hang around the house, or you just want horses in the backyard, you know, we live in an equestrian community here, and I would say 80% of the horses here are not ridden. They're pets, right?
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. So, and we have two right now that we had to retire because of various things that are basically pets right now, and they're still a lot of fun. I still take my pony out for walks and, you know, do fun things with them. So how do your adoptions work?
So we have an adoption application, and if you are interested in them, then just email us and we'll email that application over to you. And if you're local, then we do property inspections. And if not, then we'll schedule a Zoom call for property inspections, just to make sure the shelter's good, the fences are good for their safety. And then we just proceed from the application from there.
Very good. I love on your website, you guys did, probably this is the best one I've seen since we started doing this. Your website has better descriptions of the horses that are up for adoption than any I've seen. You even go into exactly what food they're getting and what supplements they're getting. I mean, the whole thing's on here, which is really cool.
Yeah, and the kicker with these two are is because they were the starvation cases, we had to slowly integrate the minerals, the vitamins, the supplements, and everything into them. And with them being 30 years old, it gets into that gray area for sedation to do dentals. So I've just done soft food feeding for them, and as an alternative to the risks.
Gotcha. Well, that makes sense. Yeah. And a lot of us that end up with seniors have to do that anyway. And were they branded, these two, by the way?
Only one. The white one is. And from what we can identify of the brand, it looks like McNabb. But we're not 100% sure. That was just based upon the research that I was able to look up researching the brand.
And I love his name is Dwight because he is white.
He is
really white. Well, I think this is great. I think that these two deserve a nice home. And if somebody wants to help you out, if they want to volunteer, I don't know if you have volunteers or if you use volunteers, but how can they help you out if they want to help in any different way?
So because we are a rehab rescue, rehabbing is a big, big deal to helping support in that. So whether it be in-kind donations, such as paying our rehab facility or sending monetary donations, if they want to come out and volunteer, then we teach our volunteers. Knowledge is power. And so the more people that are coming out to volunteer, we want to make sure you're equipped with the correct knowledge, especially because these are medical horses. So we're not going to just turn you loose. You know, here you go. Go clean stalls. Yeah. We actually do work with you.
Oh, that's great.
That's, like I said, knowledge is power in so many ways. And that's how it makes the difference in the big circle.
And you said that you were in Bowie. Where in Texas is that? Because, it's a little state. So
it is a little state, isn't it? So we are about shy of an hour north of Fort Worth.
Okay, so you're just north of Dallas. I've been there, actually. Now that I'm looking at the map, I've been there. We camped near there. So
really?
Yes. So I know exactly where you are. And that's pretty country up there, actually.
It is.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, that's great. I'm glad that you guys are doing this. Thank you for all the hard work that you put in to help the horses. You know, we're thankful that there's so many of you around the country. The fact that you are certified as well makes it, that's the only reason we're talking to you, because we don't talk to ones that aren't. So,
right.
And you're part of A Home for Every Horse. And we want to thank them for the introduction, Melissa over there for the introduction as well. So you can find the website at enchantedthoroughbreds.org. I'll put a link directly to the horses' pages, to the 30-year-olds' pages. If you guys are interested in taking a look at maybe helping them out through their retirement, you can contact Enchanted Thoroughbreds, and I'm sure they'll be back in touch with you. So thank you for joining us today, Victoria. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely, and it was a pleasure being here on the show with you today.
Want to reach a passionate, engaged audience of horse lovers? The Horse Radio Network, with thousands of listeners worldwide, offers unique sponsorship opportunities to connect your brand with horse owners, riders, and enthusiasts. Over 90% of our listeners have bought a product from a HRN ad in the past year. Partner with HRN and take your brand to the next level. Visit www.horseradionetwork.com/advertise today.
Well, on this day in equine history, we are heading back in time to 1889, and this involves your home state of Oklahoma.
It's not my home state. I reside here.
In 1889, the Oklahoma Land Run began. Do you know about that?
Oh, yes, of course I do.
Well, what happened was, it was a high-stakes race, horses involved, that began...
Tom Cruise did a movie about this.
Did he?
Yes.
I don't remember that one.
He did a movie. It's about the Oklahoma Land Run. He was an Irish guy, and then Nicole Kidman was his, partner, and that's where they actually met and fell in love and got married and then fell apart.
You see how that worked. So it was a high stakes race that began at high noon on April 22nd, 1889, when a literal cannon blast signaled the opening of nearly 2 million acres of unassigned lands for settlement. An estimated 50,000 people, known as boomers, I wonder if that's where the term came from, waited at the border on horseback, in wagons, and even on foot, charging forward at breakneck speeds to stake a claim to 160-acre plots. by being the first to plant a flag on them. That's how they, I don't know if they had them marked out. I don't know exactly how that ran.
But I've always wondered, I'm like, what if one guy planted it on one corner and another guy planted it on another? Was there already one in there and you had to like pull it? I don't know.
I don't know either. The event also birthed the term Sooners, a nickname for those who had illegally snuck across the line before the official start to scout the best land. Within a single day, tent cities like Oklahoma City and Guthrie transformed from empty prairie into bustling towns of over 10,000 residents. So that's how Oklahoma City came.
Let me just tell you that OU, the mascot is, and they yell to each other like in this football games and in every, I mean, we've gone to tennis matches and they yell, like one person goes, "Boomer!" And the rest of the stadium goes, "Sooner!"
I did not know that.
Yes. And so like, Chad, let me tell you a little, you want to hear something fun on how stupid men are. Are you ready for this? I've never told you the story about Chad. So we start dating, we get married, and we decide to get a dog. Okay. And so we get a dog and he names it Boomer. We had Boomer for years and years and years. And that's great. That's our dog. I had Zenyatta and he had Boomer. And we had Boomer forever. And then fast forward 12 years, we're sitting at Christmas and we don't have Boomer anymore. And it comes up, his dog Boomer. And apparently he had a dog. Are you ready for this? He had a dog named Boomer with his ex-wife.
Oh, no, I didn't know.
I was like, what? And I just like, it just punched me in the face. Like Christmas morning, they started talking about his old lab, Boomer. And I was like, Boomer wasn't a lab. Boomer was an English shepherd. And they were like, not that Boomer. And I was like, what? And apparently everybody knew but me. Everybody talked about it. But can you believe he named his dog Boomer? And of course, that's horrifying. That's like finding like, oh.
Did he ever give an explanation for that?
Yeah. And it was a great explanation and I let it go because he goes, you know what? That didn't matter to me. I was so forgettable being married to that person that I even forgot my dog's name.
Good cover there, Chad.
Right? You can have that. Okay, good answer.
He was a fighter pilot. He had to think quick.
I mean, quick thing. Oh, God, I'm in trouble. Yeah. His last dog with his ex-wife.
I gotta say, I'm on your side on this one. It's one thing if you had a dog growing up named Boomer, right? You're a kid and you have a dog named Boomer and you want to kind of relive that. But this one, it's kind of weird.
It's really bad. Like, there is only one excuse that he could have given and he gave it. So we stayed married.
And that one's even on the edge.
It's just really stupid. Like, how stupid are you? You name your freaking dog. Like, come on.
But he did go there. He could have named it sooner. Right, exactly. On this day in 1945, Operation Cowboy began. Do you remember what that was?
I do not.
It was when a German intelligence officer and a veterinarian from the hostile stud farm approached the U.S. 2nd Cavalry Group, and they were terrified that the approaching Soviet Red Army would execute the horses, including prize Lipizzaners and hundreds of kidnapped Allied thoroughbreds for meat. This was the rescue of the Lipizzaners during World War II. General Patton officially gave the order to get them, make it fast. He was a lifelong horse person. He couldn't stand the thought of the lineage being destroyed. The actual attack took place on April 28th, and the rescue mission took place. It remains as one of the most unique missions in World War II because it involved American soldiers, anti-Nazi Germans, and even Cossacks riding side by side to save the horses from the SS. The Perfect Horse by Elizabeth Letts is the best book.
Incredible. Yeah, I have it on my shelf right here. Oh. Yeah, it's unbelievable. And Elizabeth Letts is also the one that wrote Seabiscuit.
You will be at the edge of your seat. We listened to this book on a road trip, and we were one of those people, Jennifer and I, in the parking lots after you get there, sitting in your car for an hour, still listening to the book. It's a great book. If you haven't read or listened to The Perfect Horse by Elizabeth Letts, it's just an incredible, we had her on about this. I couldn't find the interview, but I know we talked to her about this, and she said it was very accurate. You know, she Elizabeth Letts does a ton of research, so it's just cool. On April 23rd, 1974, a Plain Bay Colt was born. He's the only horse in history to win the American Triple Crown while remaining undefeated.
Ooh, I know this one.
What is it?
That's Seattle Slough.
Yes, he was purchased for $17,500 and went on to be worth millions and defined racing for a generation.
Which was like super cheap. $17,500, even in 1974, was a tiny amount for a horse.
It's like 100 grand today, I mean, which is not a lot anymore.
Now, Plain Bay is a little of an understatement. He was a dark bay, beautiful, and he had like almost red eyes. He had like those really, really amber, reddish brown eyes. It's just, I have a poster of him behind me. Actually, picture him behind me. There he is.
There you go. So there you go. Happy birthday to Seattle Slough. And now that we've had the really normal news for history, we're going to do this.
Time to learn why some days you're embarrassed to be part of the human race in Jamie's Weird News.
That's right. That's all these people that were looking around in their news and they thought, wow, that's super weird. And they thought that they should email it to me. weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com. If you ever see anything that you see that is just kind of weird. And I would like to thank these people. Finally, you guys showed up after last week's embarrassing thing of only one person sending it. Lorene, Susan, Tiana, Rachel, Andrea, Christy, Debbie, Lindsay, Jenny, and Jennifer. All of you sent me weird news and I really do appreciate it. Now, this one happened in Knoxville, Tennessee, 11 a.m. on Friday morning. A pickup truck crashed, like a tractor trailer crashed. And we've had so many things, Glenn, that have been ejected onto roads, like beer cans, pigs. I mean, what else can you think of that has been spilled onto a road because of a car?
We've had every vegetable,
kind of, chocolate, yeah, beers, yeah. Everything. This is not one that you would want to exit your car. Okay. Because 11 a.m. last Friday morning, a pickup truck transporting, do you want to guess?
Live snakes.
1 million bees.
Oops.
Barely. The
Jennifer,
crashed.
Close the window quick.
Exactly. Get out of your car. That's what they were saying. So this truck like rolled over. I mean, it's decimated. And they ended up having to get people like in bee suits to come out and try to catch the bees. And the drivers were stuck for hours because they couldn't get out of their cars. They couldn't roll down the window. They couldn't move. They were stuck.
Because the bees were pissed.
Because there's a million bees that are loose on the freeway. Apparently the ramp from I-40 East to Henley Street was closed because a truckload of carrying bees crashed and now the bees have escaped and are swarming the area. And you're not going to want to get out of your car. And they have big, there's pictures of like people in bee suits, like with hoses, like
vacuuming them up.
That's gotta suck. And they did release this. Unless you are dressed in this outfit, please stay in your vehicles in this area. And they attached a picture of a man in a beekeeper's outfit.
That'd be the time I'd have to pee really bad, you know?
I know, right?
You were just going to get off the next exit. That would be the time.
Just keep driving.
What is the longest we've ever been stuck? I'll never forget this. Was on, I forget what the name of the highway was, but it was in Pennsylvania heading towards Allentown. And we were stuck for 7 hours on that highway. We could.
For what?
There was a bad, deadly accident, killed several people ahead. And we were probably quarter mile back, so we couldn't turn around or get off or anything. You know, we were just stuck. And everybody was out of their cars, just hanging out, and people were peeing in the woods, because what are you going to do, right? I
mean, yeah.
You're 7 hours, you got to go to the bathroom at some point.
So, you need water? Like, oh my gosh, yeah. That would be awful.
Yeah, that's awful. Why we always carry water in our car everywhere we go, because we didn't have water that day. And it's like, okay, we're going to go with water everywhere.
Yeah, good call. Although in situations like that, you just have to like go, okay, I'm not in the accident.
Yeah.
I'm going to think it myself and just have a seat and chill out, turn on a book on tape, try not to run out of gas.
Well, there are like 20 of us sitting along the highway just talking, strangers, because what are you going to do, right?
Everybody
was
going nowhere.
No, we didn't go anywhere for a very long time.
So there's a place in Westlake, Ohio. It's like a neighborhood, and it's like kind of a senior neighborhood. And Westlake has a quote, "Are you okay?" program. Residents can sign up for a daily call and check in to make sure that everything is all right. The police captain, Jerry Vogel, says it's a really nice service that has actually saved lives in the past. Like last year or earlier in this year, nobody answered the phone. And so the police were dispatched and they found a woman who had fallen and couldn't get up. So because she didn't answer the call, they sent police. It's like really, really good. Everybody gets very concerned if you don't answer the phone. So they made a call to a woman who's 91 and no answer. And her family started calling. I guess they don't live close. And they were calling and calling. And they're like, oh my gosh, what happened to Meemaw? You know, like she's not answering the phone. So police officers went to her home in Westlake, Ohio to check on her. And I'm going to give you the guess. What do you think happened, Glenn?
I don't know. Do I want to know? Okay.
Of course, you want to know. It's weird news. This is not like she died. This is weird. Okay, so they police call. They're banging on the door. No answer. They're like, "We're coming in." They breach the doors. They walk through the house. They find her in her bedroom.
Did she have a boyfriend?
They have to radio in. We're with her now. She was playing video games. Police said she was trying to beat her record level in this video game. And in the process, she missed the attempts to check in on her. 91 years old, still trying to beat that next level, trying to win save the princess.
Anybody that's played video games, I think, has been there. I think we can all relate.
Oh my 91. God.
And she probably had headphones on and, you know, couldn't hear the world or anything.
I imagine this 91-year-old woman like dialed in, like wired yes. in a gaming chair.
Right. Bright red one. That's funny. She's probably playing some combat first person
Mortal
shooter
Kombat.
Game. Yeah. It's like, that's probably what she was. That's what I picture.
What's when we drive around and you pick up prostitute? That one.
Yes.
Clearly, I don't game. I don't know anything about it. Okay, so this is just weird. So a building, I don't know how to like tell you this because without just giving it away. Okay, there's a museum in. It's for the Titanic. I think it's in Tennessee, this museum, the Titanic Museum in Tennessee. And they have like $6 million worth of Titanic era artifacts and fashion pieces and cars that were owned by prominent Titanic passengers. They have all of this stuff from the Titanic. And unfortunately, it flooded. The entire museum flooded. It's just what makes it weirder is it flooded on the anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic.
Oh,
114 years to the day, the Titanic Museum flooded and they lost. It's cool. I would like to see this museum in a non-flooded time because I can see like in this picture, it's like English saddle. There's all these pictures and artifacts and cars. It looks really cool, but it's going to be a minute till they reopen.
Well, it'll look authentic, everything in it then, right?
They said the irony of any Titanic exhibit flooding is strange enough, but the fact that ours flooded on the exact anniversary of the Titanic sinking is more than ironic. It's almost paranormal.
It is. I agree. Do you know what I saw the other day, and I was bothered by it, and I know I shouldn't be, but I want to see your reaction. You know those big blow-up things they put in yards for birthday parties and stuff? The slides and the bouncy
houses.
We always report on that they've blown away and, you know, fly 3 miles to the neighboring county. Well, this is one of those, only it's the Titanic sinking, and that's the slide. I just thought that was wrong for some reason. It just bothered me. It was actually the Titanic sinking, you know, going down. So half of it's above the ground. And that's the slide.
Oh, no. I think I've seen that, but I didn't all think I was. No, that's,
see,
that's too much.
Am
too
I not the only one that was? Is it still too soon for that one?
Too soon.
I mean, I know it's been 110 years, but, you know, it just seems soon.
Actually, it's been 114 years on April 14th. Ask me how I know.
I don't know. Titanic slide seemed wrong.
Too soon. Okay. We're really spending a lot of time in Ohio today.
Good.
And that's
out of my state.
Yes. We're going to go to Columbus, Ohio, because police were called to the 1800 block of Walcott Road because there was a fire and they found a bunch of fire damage. According to the Columbus fire investigators, there was three large fuel storage containers on the property and they all caught on fire. They lost $25,000 worth of fuel. And they got it all controlled and they're like, we got to check the surveillance footage. And the surveillance footage showed a guy in a Dodge Dakota pull up to a lock gate, unlock it, drive in and start stealing gas. From the video, it appears that he's removing the fuel from the storage containers and loading it into a storage container in his truck. And while removing the fuel, somehow a flash fire occurs. Now, mind you, this person is sucking gas out of one thing and pumping it into another thing. And all of a sudden, a flash fire occurs, prompting the driver to get into his truck and drive away until he realized that the bed of his truck was also on fire because the fire jumped into the. Then he then backed up towards the fuel tank, pushed all the stuff out and exited the scene. Boom, the fire is just raging. Oh, who is this man? Turns out he's a former employee and he got fired and kept the key. Ooh. So he's been going in and stealing fuel from his former place of work. Now,
well, it's expensive nowadays, you know.
Here's where it gets stupid. Do you know how the fire started?
He was smoking because when he was stealing fuel.
He was
smoking.
Oh,
no. That was too obvious.
It is like dumb. So dumb. Okay. So then they look at the footage and they're like, hey, that's that guy who used to work here. I bet that's that guy. And so they go, his last name is Bush, and they go to William Dave Bush. They go to William Dave Bush's place, Mirandize him and put him in the car and arrest him and take him to the jail. And he's like, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. It wasn't me. Mr. Bush, can you please tell the court why your eyebrows are singed off?
I have no hair on your arms.
He was like, it wasn't me. And his eyebrows are burned off. His right earlobe has a giant burn and he's wearing a large bandage on his right arm.
Not to mention the soot all over the bed of his pickup truck.
Where did you get the burns? And he was like, I received these burns from a brush fire.
That I started. Okay. No. Florida's not the only one that has. That's an Ohio man. That's an Ohio man story right there.
So far, the most fun comes from Florida, Texas, and Ohio. To be fair. But like, yeah, could you imagine the judge is like, sir, why did you do? I didn't do it. Yes, you did. I didn't do it. You can't prove it. You have no eyebrows.
You notice we never get these stories from like Utah or Idaho, you know? We never get them from those states. We always get them from...
I'll start digging deeper. If y'all do something in your state that's stupid, please send it to me. Because other than that, Florida, Texas, and Ohio... just looking really stupid.
You know, we were dumbasses. We should have had a world map and putting pins in each state and stuff when we did them.
That's got to be somebody's job to go back through the years.
Yeah, good luck with that. Well, that's it. We have to get out of here. You have a busy week. I have a couple days off, which I'm going to enjoy. I did have to close the show out today, Mary posted this, and I thought it was brilliant on the auditor page. Everybody tries, Jennifer did it too, tries to make their own dressage letters because they're expensive, the ones you buy for your dressage arena. And Mary had the most brilliant idea, and it was so simple. Everybody tries to get like cones and paint the letters on, or get buckets and paint the letters on. She made her own dressage letters by getting the white 5-gallon pickle buckets, but she did the letters with duct tape. which must have been so simple to do. She said she puts three bricks in each of them, or stones or rocks or whatever you have around, keeps them blown away. And so that's how she did it. She just
Super smart. Hopefully she drilled holes in the bottom so she don't have giant brick filled water buckets.
Yes, I hope she did too. I thought of that too. I thought of the mosquitoes. Because you take all that time to paint them on, and then unless you're an artist, they look terrible, because the ones we did always looked terrible. But this, they looked really neat. Like they were made that way because she used black duct tape to do it.
And she could actually put flowers in them, and it'd be so pretty.
Yeah, you're right. That'd be a good idea.
This is fantastic.
Yeah.
What Mary is
good
this?
Good job, Mary.
That's fantastic.
That was a great idea. It was the best hack I've seen all week. Good
fantastic.
Job. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate it. We will be back with a brand new episode on Friday because we recorded it earlier. So we do have a brand new episode. We're going to give away the prizes for really bad ads. So look for that. And then Ashley and I will be here next Monday, and Jamie will be back. Hopefully she can get her flight. She'll be back next Wednesday.
I'm flying standby, so we'll see how it goes.
Monday shouldn't be too bad. Although, with the number of flights being canceled now because of fuel,
you put that on me,
it's
Ricky.
It's
going to
get interesting.
You keep it down. By the way, I showed Lucas the office space. He didn't get it. Didn't like it at all. Showed him stepbrothers. That's filthy. Forgot.